Radio Santa Cruz began broadcasting on the FM dial on March 30th, 1995. 10 years later, the station continues to broadcast. Stay tuned to 101.1 FM or listen to the web stream anywhere in the world at www.freakradio.org.
10 years, man! 10 years! 10 years! 10 years! 10 years!
This is Ian from Fugazi, and this is Radio Free Santa Cruz. Music should be free, and so should radio.
Jail the oppressor, free the oppressed.
Who are the real criminals here?
We have a program on the second Saturday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. on
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
And the purpose of this particular program is to inform people on the campaign to abolish the security housing units, which are control units, to end brutality.
To expose the systematic brutality on our community members and to give a voice to victims of this systematic brutality that occurs every day.
Lockdown. Prison riot.
Jail the oppressor, free the oppressed.
Who are the real criminals here?
On the second Saturday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. on
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
This is Thomas from Strike Anywhere. You're on 101 Freak Radio. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Sonic Overload.
I once knew a Jack who looked like a Jill and smelled like a
Listen,
John.
Nazi, never again.
Poison Idea, and Ugly American off the Kings of Punk album. You're listening to Sonic Overload. My name's Al. I'll be here for the next 2 hours playing punk, hardcore, garage, and other loud music. Next, we have brand new music by the Cleveland band Upstab from a new 7-inch. This is called Punch Police.
And coming up next, it's Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz, April 21st, 2005 show, with special focus on Tent University Santa Cruz and the failure of the city to provide medical marijuana center opportunities. And in fact, it's moved to close down medical marijuana. Stay with us.
Echoes of childhood whisper violence, cold wind beating out of the past, rage in your throat, muffled silence. Hold on, I will stand fast. In the darkness, your guardians had left you. Cold wind beating out of the past. None to hear your cries, none to defend you. Hold on, I will stand fast. I will stand fast. I will stand fast. You are saved in the daylight at last. Nightmare and fear, they have no power here. I will stand fast. I will listen to the terrors that tried you. Cold wind beating out of the past. I will cradle the child that breathes inside you. Hold on, I will stand fast. Though you take the shape of 100 ancient horrors. Cold wind beating out of the past. You strike at me and the plea into your sorrow. Hold on, I will stand fast. I will stand fast. I will stand fast. You are safe in the daylight at last. Nightmare and fear, they have no power.
That was I Will Stand Fast, as you might imagine, by Fred Small from the cassette, those old cassette days of the same name. Hi, I'm Robert Norse, and this is Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. This is a show concerned with civil rights in Santa Cruz, in and around Santa Cruz, and human rights. And today, particularly from 6 to 8, we're going to be talking about and playing tape from Tent University, the Liberation on a Hill, Education on a Hill, that began last Monday, actually began weeks and weeks before that with organizers preparing for it. And it's somewhat chronicled on Indie Media, www.santacruz.indiemedia.org, though I see that as I look on Indie Media in the studio, there's no further posts since 4:16 that are mentioned on this particular server. My can't get past 4:15, so I'm having trouble accessing Indie Media. Perhaps some Indie Media Collective person might be able to clarify for us what the problems are with that. Because Indie Media is a great website, and I hope that you're having better success with it than I am. I understand some people are and do have access to Indie Media. I'm going to be playing some tape from the evening of the police kidnapping of students, the forcible, I would call it, dispersal of a protest, violation of free assembly through a form of torture, systematically applied, methodically applied, the creation of intimidation and fear to remove a whole bunch of students and community members, for that matter, from a community area where they were harming no one and, in fact, engaging in an educational exercise that apparently the university just could not tolerate. I'm going to play a lot of the tape I took of the afternoon and then the evening of Monday, April, I guess it was the 18th. Yeah, it was the 18th. So that's coming up. Also coming up is a continuation of the show we were doing on Sunday here, which is the medical marijuana in Santa Cruz, Why the Hell Not, which seems particularly appropriate on 421, the day after 420, when marijuana is celebrated throughout the land. Was celebrated at the Compassion Flower Inn yesterday as well. Great celebration there. Open to the public, I understand. And that was great. And my hat's off to Andrea Tischler for doing that. I was kind of running around, giving out flyers, trying to alert people to some upcoming stuff that was happening at Tent University and the benefit for Roger Mensch, the man who is a medical marijuana provider and had an organization called the Hemporium, which Bob Lee prosecuted, and he now faces, Roger Mensch does, 7 years in jail. You can, again, go to Indie Media and check out that story. Just look for medical marijuana or Robert Mensch. I think it's M-E-N-T-C-H. There's a benefit tomorrow night at the Vets Hall. I believe it's at 8 o'clock, and it's got a sliding scale, but goes to a good cause. I don't know if I'll be there, but I'm certainly talking about it. I encourage you to check it out. I'm going to try to get somebody from Tent University on the phone. It's a little hard because the cellular phone I have contact with kind of goes in and out up there. I don't have a cellular phone, but they do. And I'll see what the latest update is from Tent University. It's been quite a controversy up there, and again, what's really encouraging, of course, is this is all happening around a time when a wide variety of upsurgences of activism is happening, ranging from the Marine recruiters off UCSC campus, a similar drive for the Watsonville High School on Tuesday, broader attacks on the budget cuts in the march yesterday, all kinds of things going on, of course. Attacks on the war industry on campus, demands that wages be significantly improved, that huge perks for the ricos of UCSC be dumped, and that there actually be some significant student input in what's going on here, and not simply be sort of terrorized away by police force. Which is, of course, what the university did in the case of the site that students chose at the base of the campus, students and community members, and in consensus. And we're going to hear some of that process of discussion and debate tonight on the air. So if you want to call in number here is 831-427-3772. 427 FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. And you can also go to the pagesincolor.com website where there's a chat room, and you can check it out there in case the phone is busy or in case you prefer to contact the show that way. And you can also contact me off air either after the show, it probably would be after the show, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, civil rights group I work with. And they may have had a workshop up there on campus today. I was not up there at the Tent University, so I was recovering the hulk of my my former car, which was recovered after having been spirited away. And its hulk has been recovered. We'll see if we can get it working again. Who knows? Anyway, lots of things coming up. I'm going to begin sort of to get things going because the show started a little late with Tent University and some interviews up there, and then it'll get into the more dramatic and kind of both inspiring and terrifying encounter with the police, the ongoing activity of the police, the machine that went on hour after hour up on campus trying to grind up students and ended up fleeing. And the students won their great victory. And I should say the community won the great victory. And I should remind you, if you're calling in, be advised that this show, there is a brief delay. So you probably should turn down your radio if you call in, 427-3772. I'll try to give some priority to phone calls, as I usually do, because I think public is what I want to hear from. I know what's on these tapes, and I've heard them before, and frankly, I'm pretty selfish about it. I'd rather hear from you, and I think also the community needs to hear from itself and check in with itself and talk to itself and maybe get it all going that way. That's the whole point of what I do with Free Radio, as well as to rant on my own and get some feedback from everybody else out there and see where we're going with this situation. So let's begin, and call in if you'd like, 427-3772, and away we go.
So it's about 4:05 on April 19th up here at the tent UC. We're talking with
Colin Brown.
Colin, you say you were released from the captivity. What, about 6:30, 7:30?
About 6:30, 7:30.
Actually, I'm going to start with a different tape. That's kind of jumping ahead. That was the next day. So my apologies for that false start. Let me begin instead with the 18th.
About how I'm fitting into their plans for what this is supposed to be or what laws I might be infringing. Like, I'm fucking done with it, dude. Like, I'm setting up my tent, all right?
And we're here on April 18th at Tent University. People have decided to camp.
Just to add to that, everybody, yes, have fun, but we are definitely not endorsing drugs and alcohol and things like that. We do want to be, you know, have fun, but, you know, have a serious kind of statement with this.
Safe space.
And safe space, too. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody listen up. We're going to be breaking up into two different groups right now. Those who are civil disobedizing and those who are either supporting us or if you're leaving, you're leaving. No pressure to be here if you don't want to. So, civil disobedizers, meet us right here in the tent. Just stay right here. Everyone else, meet right that direction. Try to come up in a little group, and we'll send a facilitator over there shortly. Thank you.
What is the purpose of this?
The purpose of Tent University Santa Cruz is to create an alternative institution where we are contrasting the hierarchical and closed decision-making processes that are affecting our education here.
And what would that be?
When it comes to cutting programs and paying wages to workers, those decisions are made behind closed doors. And what we're doing is breaking open those doors and making the administration listening to what we have to say.
Okay. How did this idea come about? I mean, why Tent University? There's millions of ways to protest. This is a unique one.
Tent University is an idea that came out of Rutgers College in New Jersey. It's an idea that incorporates community building and protest while at the same time creating a positive vision for what we see. Instead of just protesting, we're actually creating something beautiful here, which is we're bringing all these people together to kind of really experience what our positive vision is going to be like for the future of our school.
I talked to the university officials earlier today. They're saying that, I mean, they respect your guys' right to protest or do this, but at the same time they feel it's a bit misguided because they're saying their hands are tied because of state budget concerns. I'm sure you've heard this argument before. What would your reaction be to that?
Well, our reaction to be is that we invited Arnold Schwarzenegger here to come and address these budget concerns that so many people in the state have. This is not just a UCSC event. This is a UC-wide protest.
What would you say about it? Is UC all, are the UC regents to blame for a lot of this too, or is it completely just state and budget issues?
I'd say that budget inequalities start at the governor's level, and they work their way down, but everybody is kind of working on this level of profits before education.
What about the issue of being out here for 7 days? Do you think
five
this will
days.
Be 5 days? Do you think it'll be strong? Do you think it's going to continue? Do you think this is something that could catch waves at other universities?
We have a huge, strong start today. We have already won several victories when it comes to opening the administrator's eyes and ears to our demands and our concerns. We hope that this can happen next year and the next year after that. The idea is spreading like wildfire. There's three that I know of nationwide, three tent states going on right now as we speak, the one in New Jersey and one in Kansas City, Missouri. So, yeah, it's an idea that's really powerful and it's really affecting people all over the world.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Walt, you want to shout out CNI? Or you want
what
to
media is he with? NBC 11, I think?
NBC 11. NBC 11?
Yes. Oh, yeah, NBC 11.
What's your name?
Ben Moore.
Thanks, Ben.
What's your name? Julia.
Julia, did you bring your tent with you?
I did not bring my tent.
No,
with
come on, don't leave home without it.
What I want to do after college, I don't know if I can get arrested for now.
You'll be a witness for the moment.
I am going to be a witness and a supporter, 100%.
And hopefully you'll stay warm enough in that rather skimpy outfit.
Sweatshirt.
Well, perhaps not.
I may run and get a jacket, but I'm going to be here till late, so.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
So the tents are popping up like mushrooms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And that's just more going up even as I speak. It's kind of dark here at Bay and High Streets. And the drums, of course, are pounding out a celebratory beat. And here's a man standing alone. What do you think of all this? No comment. Okay. So, what brings you guys to 10th University? Free Radio wants to know.
I think the sense of community is what we need to build together, and that's what this is all about. Scott Wendell, go for it.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you here?
No, you were just telling me like so many times.
Are you planning to stay tonight or?
Yes, I definitely do. It's awesome. I'm glad they claimed this space. This is how it was advertised. This is how it should go down. If they don't do anything, the university is just gonna get, I don't know, way more repressive. They're gonna do shadier things.
What kind of
delegation of funds up? Raising tuition by like 67% in the past 4 years, not giving their workers a living wage, cutting back language departments, cutting back the journalism department, like a variety of things that they're not addressing at this moment. So it's only going to get worse. Like I've been watching this group with the kicking military recruiters off campus and the strike. It's building up. There's this new energy and it's beautiful. It's fucking courageous. It's amazing. And
I'm glad you're here.
I'm so glad.
What's your name?
Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
Nonviolence. We're not confronting the police. If there's going to be a confrontation, it's going to be them confronting us. We have to remember that we have to keep it peaceful. We have to keep it calm. We don't want to give them an excuse to start hurting people, right?
Quiet hours. Talk about quiet hours.
Okay. In respect to the neighborhood, we're going to stop having really loud music and really loud conversation, I guess, after 10 p.m. So you don't have to go to sleep at 10 p.m. We're just going to try and say keep it a little quiet after 10 p.m.
What's this about lockdown, I hear? You know that's resisting arrest.
I know nothing. I think it's the wrong code word.
I don't want to discourage them because, you know.
You should talk to them. I just talked about the difference between using the word when and using the word if.
Right.
Because if the leaders are saying when the cops come, it doesn't matter that much what the individuals were thinking. It's prima facie intent.
Right. We have a skeptic here. Your name, Madeline. Come on. She's hiding out. She's hiding behind a man who's even taller than she is. Come back here. Why are you a skeptic? She's running away. All right, then.
My name's Al.
Yeah. Sure. We're doing stuff that our ethnographers for our major, my last
major. No, we used to do major. This.
Yeah, we used to do this.
It's 9:30. I'm here with Molly and...
Me.
And her, and of course...
Me.
Me, and Molly. And there's me, of course, too. So, Molly, you have a friend who actually camps in the woods, right?
I have several friends that actually camp in the woods.
And on UCSC property?
Why, yes, on UCSC
property. Realize it's unfair to every other student who pays thousands of dollars to go to this campus. Now, aren't you ashamed of yourself?
No, I invite them to join me.
You know, we should go tell the housing coordinator. She was one of the administrators that was talking, the director of Campus University and Housing Services.
We just actually had, just for those who don't know, we were in this large, I guess it's now an enclosed structure, and I'm interviewing you for free radio. Yeah, a great job. And there were actually only two UCSC administrators who were there, and you say, who are these people?
Jean Marie Scott and Gail Height.
And so the university sent down nobody else to talk to, what, 300 or 400 students and community members?
Nope, no one else.
And what kind of wisdom did these women have for us?
Well, they had...
Molly?
They didn't have so much wisdom for us. They had a lot of...
Bureaucratic bullshit?
Bureaucratic bullshit is a good way to phrase it. That's quite articulate. I also think that it's a farce that they would try to send two people that aren't the head-ups to represent everybody else's interests when they are just spewing policy at us. They had nothing to say. They weren't really willing to compromise. They told us that we could go back to our discussions.
How nice of them.
How nice of them.
What was your impression of these administrators? Were you there at this discussion?
No, not there.
Why not?
There
you are, you see. Case closed. Were you there?
Arrive.
I will say no more at this point. So we have... You're going to spend the night.
Yes, I am.
And you might spend the night.
To move within their place, but not a movement to a better space.
And there you have it. Anybody else spending the night? Molly might or might not spend the night.
I'll be on campus, one way or another. Not in a dorm room.
No. Molly, you are a woodsy, is that correct?
I would identify as a woodsy, yes.
What is a woodsy, if you don't mind telling me?
A woodsy is someone who lives in the woods.
And you mean you are actually outdoors? I mean, your abode is outside. You swing from the trees. What happens?
My abode is on my back, and everywhere I go is my home, and it happens to be in the woods quite often.
Yes, but what do you do for when it gets cold? You have a blanket.
I have a sleeping bag.
Have you been hassled by the police?
Not yet.
Is this because you camp lightly on the land, or because you simply eliminated all the witnesses?
I camp lightly on the land, but I would also say that the police haven't come looking for me yet.
How many people would you say are roaming students, migratory, woodsish types at UCSC here?
An accurate number would be difficult to gauge, but I would say that I've met personally about a dozen, and I've heard tale of at least another dozen.
One of the concerns of the administrators, I'm told second or third hand, was that the reason that this was not a suitable situation for camping was because homeless, what would you call them, child molesters, drunks, and drug dealers would make their way and begin to overwhelm the camp here and make it unsafe for diminutive women like yourself. Now, what is your view of that?
My view is that I'm not a diminutive woman, and that nobody is diminutive, that we're all in this together, and that everyone is coming to Tate University to discuss just this issue, that we are going to create unity, and we're resisting the bullshit that people are lesser than us, that there is this elitist ivory tower. I can't subscribe to that.
Well, you yourself are one of probably in conspiracy with these homeless trolls downtown, because you yourself have chosen a nomadic lifestyle, haven't you?
I wouldn't call them trolls, unless everyone's a troll, and troll is a fun term that we're using.
There's
because
a certain
it's
person
so great.
Raising her hand here. Madam, what can I do for you?
I would like to discuss my senior seminar with a recent homeless individual.
Your name?
My name is Jill, who is ascertaining to be in the moment, in fact, an enlightened individual who was a little bit of a roamer. And yes, sadly, he had to pay the fees to go to the university, which many other people can't at all. So they don't even get that option of being that observer of this kind of education. Meanwhile, He was a wise individual. He passed the class with grace, very much, I think. Yes.
So he was a man outside.
He was a man who lived outside. He lived somewhere on campus. He didn't. He was actually trying to experience poverty for the senior seminar, poverty and inequality. And
did he succeed?
Well, poverty is not about having a home. It's about a lot of different things, including having friends and people, and that maybe is lacking in our country as opposed to other places.
Would you say you have experienced poverty?
I would say yes. And it's not about money either.
So what is poverty about?
Feeling inadequate.
So you're using poverty in a negative sense, not in the sense of someone who abandons the material realm, the 9-to-5 workaday world. You're talking about poverty in terms of lack or diminished resources. Yeah. Am I understanding you right?
Yes, but resources are defined differently by different people. Certain people who have achieved certain resources are in power right now, and certain people who have a lot of resources are abusing them and abusing people who don't have resources. There's a fine line. Some people are in real poverty and they don't have water to drink, clean water. They don't have any sort of money for their family and friends.
Has anyone among, including the individual you mentioned, ever experienced, we're talking real poverty, like people who are on the verge of cholera and dysentery and their children are seriously malnourished and half of them are dead. It's hard to imagine. I guess certainly some people in the United States have experienced that, but I wonder, has anybody here at UCSC experienced that?
I'm sure many people have, but no, he wasn't trying, he wasn't feeling that type of poverty necessarily in a direct way, thank the love and the goodness that's around us. However, all of us are affected by that, by all sorts of violence and poverty, regardless. You know, you can do whatever you want to ignore it, but you're still affected by it.
How have you been affected by it in the last week? Or have you?
I have been affected, like one in three women, in being abused by a male that I am still...
connected with?
No, that I am still remembering and having to deal with that sort of poverty, maybe.
Manipulation and exploitation or poverty?
Poverty. It's a type of poverty where you feel inadequate and hurt and you don't have access to proper resources. That's the fine line, proper resources that literally mean life and death, and that is a certain kind of poverty. But everybody else is affected by that poverty and by other hurts and pain, so we're all in this together, so we should share the space. And
as we are doing tonight.
Yes, as we are trying to do. And the militarization of space is what I've been hearing is the most problematic, slow process and institutionalization of all of our spaces. Something's going on.
Let's find out, shall we?
Go ahead.
So it's about 9:45. The police just arrived here.
University officials are just asking the crowd to disperse.
Oh, I see. Okay. Are they announcing it? Have they made an public announcement yet?
We're going around announcing that, that we need them to...
You're a university official?
Yes.
What's your name?
I don't want to be on record for that.
Okay. You're an anonymous university official.
No.
I'm with Free Radio.
Oh, I'm just... I'd rather not have this, have this on the radio. But.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be here then, right?
No, I'm observing for safety.
So there, you heard that. So people are moving into the tent in the center.
Everybody is not already locked down.
Police cars have arrived, and... And there is a plan to lock down in the large structure in the center, or a call for that anyway. And here a group is locking down, and a group of students are kind of sitting around with each other in solidarity in a circle. Their arms length looks like about 12, 13 people.
All right, guys, get them up.
Being encouraged to come into this big tent. I'm standing at the edge of the tent here watching folks go in. Hey there.
How you doing?
Good. There's another...
Everybody now. One love. One love.
The theme song of one of the three songs that are swaying in unison. We have 12 in one circle and 15 in another.
They're telling us that they are not going to wait. They refuse to let us know what their first action will look like. They refuse to have a conversation about action before they take it. So just so you know, they have tried to give the order. They have missed too many people for it to be legitimate. But either way, they have given the order, and now they're going to take some action. And they refuse to say what kind of action that will look like. So at this point, if you guys want to circle up and find everybody you came with, now might be the time.
Anyone interested in centralizing nonviolent resistance or inviting them to lock down in the Nome with us right now?
Okay.
In Alexandria.
A number of police officers are arriving, approaching through the, sort of thinning their way through the tents with video cameras and presumably administration officials. They have helmets on. They're advancing into the camp, about five or six, and they're surrounding a group of people here who are in, and the officer is announcing that the individuals are trespassing. And there are about four or five police officers here. And a number of course, students are continuing to hang tough here. And the media is continuing to take pictures. And the circle is getting up.
Attention, everyone. My name is Officer.
Circle
Clark,
is moving into the tent.
This is not an unlawful assembly. This is your warning. Everyone must disperse and leave the area immediately. This is a warning at this time. Everyone that does not want to be arrested, please leave the area.
So I'm gathering my property to probably stay. There's quite a bunch of people here waiting to be arrested. Looks like, gosh, 150 seated in this square tent.
Who's camping?
Who's camping?
I'm returning some signs to my vehicle. There's some police officers here, sort of gathering. A line of them looks like about 15 or 20 in the parking lot. And they're getting instructions from the lieutenant, or from the man who's commanding them. Looks like about 35 police officers. And they're being... And they're being instructed to move now onto the scene. The police are now surrounding the square area in the center where folks are.
We will not be intimidated. We will not be intimidated. We will not
intimidated. You will not be intimidated.
And a few people are leaving, but most are staying.
We will not be intimidated. We will not be intimidated. We will not be intimidated.
You hear the chant, we should not be intimidated. As the police surround the group.
We will not be intimidated. 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 We will not be intimidated.
Police are beginning to remove the tents. There's one individual in a tent. There's a couple in a tent who are being removed. The floodlights are on them. And the woman and her boy are being taken out of the tent. The tent is being pulled off. And the woman and her child are walking away without being arrested. They look rather shaken up. So it looks like they are beginning to remove tents, including the $120 Huff tent. Police are hauling tents away now. And students are questioning the police officers, how can they do this?
They're working for us, yeah! Hell yeah!
Wait, where is it? I'll go get a field.
And the police are now surrounding the area with officers with truncheons held out in their hands.
Up by his head. They're lifting him up by his head and dragging him out of the
What's his name?
I do not know.
What's his name? And the police have hard to see through the crowd. At the corner of the tent here and removing people one by one. Including two officers dragging away one man. There are two officers, four officers on this side. Actually dragging away two people.
I hope you can't sleep at night either.
Who are you protecting?
And people are rather upset about this. Radicalizing the students, folks.
Who are you protecting? Who are you protecting? Who are you protecting?
A circle of students from whom the people have been forcibly removed have now reassembled as a tighter-knit group. Angry and invigorated again.
Who'd love for you to come join us?
Please come join us! There's a place for you at our table!
Come join us!
There's a place for you at our table!
Come join us!
There's a place for you at our table!
Education! Liberation!
There's a place for you at our table!
The students are calling for people to join the locked group.
Come join us!
Freedom!
One of the many locked groups. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight circles of people with arms entwined and locked. The police are back at the first locked circle. It's going after arrests. They're pulling a man's head, putting a plain compliance order, pressing him back. They're They're using a carotid bank appliance hold, which is stopping the blood circulation of the brain of two people and breaking his will or his ability to maintain a tight lock with his arms. And another one is being dragged away. Another woman is being dragged away. They're telling her to get up. She looks dazed. She's getting to her feet. She falls to her knees again. And she gets up. And the police officer writes something on her right wrist. And again, the police again are squeezing the neck. Pain compliant hold. The obscenity here as the cameras observe this. And here's a man who they twice used a pain compliance carotid artery blockage. They're holding him down. He's not resisting. The name of the man who still refuses to get up is lying down. Is
I don't know his name. He's just a brother in the fight.
Eric Robson is his name.
Eric.
Can you,
no, can you grab my camera?
Now they're using a twisting motion on his left hand. Pain compliance hold.
Hold on!
Twisting his leg. Hey, you guys would be good in Abu Ghraib. Got a job for you overseas. And they got the man up. Go left. And he is going left. It's very hard to get a guy who's going left. It's taking. And three guys are moving the police officer with a fourth behind.
Stay strong.
And they grab him by the neck. He's been told he's under arrest. He's been given no opportunity to get up, however, and leave voluntarily. His neck is being squeezed. And they're squeezing his thigh muscles to produce pain. They're twisting his arm, his hands. And they're marking his wrist. Please, like a bunch of committed students in the Santa Cruz area. Another man is being seized. Police are running after him. A bystander is now being attacked by the police.
Run up this with your kids. Run up this with your kids.
The man is being seized and being escorted away.
Circle around the cops.
Yeah.
Fast enough.
And there's been a suggestion to circle around the police. The crowd is returning to the square rectangular area where people are still locked down. This is going to be a slow night of it for the police, it looks like. We're going after the second group now. The same horrific pain compliance hold going after the students, dragging them, pulling them off. First circle has been broken up. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more circles of people with locked arms.
Join the community!
Standing next to, I guess you're doing your own camcorder stuff. What's your name?
Yeah, I'm a film student at UC Santa Cruz. My name's Bodie Mark.
Bodie, any reaction to what's going on here?
It's just amazing. You know, these are paying students and they're getting beat up and dragged out of here for camping. And what's that about?
What are you doing?
University power.
Yeah, they don't want to have their monopoly on education. lost. They want to keep their monopoly.
If you want to call in the free radio, do so.
This
give us an update.
Like.
So that
10:30, and police rushed out, and crowd followed them. I don't know. Anybody see what happened? Have you seen
ran out, and the cops ran after him, and then the crowd kind of surged around the guy and started like shoving at the cops, and the cops started threatening people, well, if you touch me, you're going to jail.
Was the guy arrested?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
He crossed the street. He got it.
Good. It's about 10:30, and again, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 circles still intact. How's it going here in the circle?
Oh, just fascinating.
Yeah, it's entertaining. And calm, actually, over there on this side. Not over there, though.
Wow.
It's like some people making complaints to the police here about this last incident. What happened?
A guy was talking to the police as they were arresting somebody, and they grabbed him by the throat, tackled him, and then he got up. They tackled him again and tried to pin him on the ground. He hadn't done anything. He was talking to them as they were walking out, and then he just jumped up and ran, and I don't know what happened after that.
Did you see all this yourself?
Yeah, I just saw it all right here, right next to me.
How far away were you?
Maybe a few feet. Just.
What's your name?
Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
It looks like the police are going after a video guy in the middle. Is he a protester or a video journalist?
Video journalist. Looks like a video journalist. Yep. They're giving all the video journalists hassles now. I think the police are really getting worked up. They're losing their cool big time. Doing pretty irrational things. Arresting random people and not even protesters, just random people.
And again, what's your full name?
Tony Foley.
Thanks, Tony. The drugs are moving on another group. I mean, the police are moving on another group now. This group is all huddled together.
How do you feel that you threw him to the ground with his neck and that 25 people saw you? And then at least 2 or 3 video cameras.
Hey, you guys are locked in. You can do it.
You heard it. You're strangling him.
And we're squeezing the necks of these people who are now huddled together. It's a little like torture. The police officer is blocking the photos.
They will not let us take.
Get a photo of the sergeant.
You realize that?
You're doing a great job.
Hey,
you got on video. Don't worry.
You got on video. I'm right here. I'm right here. See right here.
You can't tell me. What are you guys doing?
This is a punishment for camping.
We weren't.
No, I know.
We're on camping. I'm camping. I'm actually at the university where I pay my dues.
We weren't even being loud. I mean, we were just hanging out on our own campus. It's pretty fucked up.
Do you understand? Can you look me in the eye?
Under a lockdown.
Why are you participating?
Can you talk? Officer.
Stay strong, Colin.
They're shouting, stay strong, Colin. Name of the guy they're dragging away. Man is shouting, 808, look at me in the eye. But he's holding his truncheon and standing his ground. And part of the police line.
Peacefully assemble.
How many people in your group were arrested? How many people got up?
Oh, no. I had to go home tonight. And I was frightened of the consequences of how long I would have to be in jail.
I understand. Talking with
Joaquin Paulino.
And we're up here at the road into the stone house, and there, you say the police are detaining and handcuffing people up here?
Yes.
How many people would you say have they done that to so far?
I've seen 6 people get in a van. They got taken to a police station. I think, I'm not sure where they went.
There's another four people sitting right over there being handcuffed with plastic handcuffs.
How are they doing?
Huh? They seem really out of it, but they seem like they're doing good. They're doing all right. I mean, they're not excited about being arrested, I'm sure. But.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Unfortunately, folks, that is Tent University on April 18th, and now the tape, unfortunately, goes at triple speed because I wanted to save tape. In order to do that, I had to record at a much slower speed, and I can transcribe that, but it's going to take me a while to do that. And so hopefully on Sunday, when the show resumes at 9:30, actually we'll be having I have another hour in the show, but that's all we've got for this particular segment on at least this particular moment. Very dramatic and important moment, not just as drama, but as inspiration. I'm going to be playing more of this on Sunday once I've, I mean on Saturday, not on Sunday, I'm sorry, once I've transcribed it. A little bit knocked for a loop myself here. There's a lot of good information on Indie Media on this subject, and you can get to Indie Media kind of indirectly if you're having troubles accessing the recent Indie Media by going to Google and Googling for Indie Media. We have a phone call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Linda, and I have a number of questions, and I want to throw one of them onto your show.
Sure.
Hoping maybe some of your listeners know more biology than I do. What I want to know is, how long after a person is rendered physically unconscious does the brain damage begin to set in? Does the gray cells start to die?
Huh. I don't
because
know.
Because I saw this video that's on the internet through Indie Media's info shop that showed that the police were actually knocking several people out at the same time, which even if I could see the cops as evil bad guys, I don't understand why they would do that, because, one, it made it harder for them to untangle the kids from each other, the legs and arms, and two, it just seems so very dangerous.
Well, I can tell you,
these kids won't even know for a long time how much brain damage they have.
Linda, let me answer respond to that. You know, you asked why would it happen. Well, the main reason the police are there are to intimidate.
Yeah, but you don't have to fucking destroy somebody's brain to intimidate them.
They're
not getting intimidated while they're unconscious.
Well, I don't, and you don't either know at this point what, you know, how long you have to block the carotid artery or strangle the person until there comes to be some kind of damage.
However you do it, you can do it with alcohol. I'm talking about the brain not getting air.
I know.
Okay.
But again, I don't know if it's air they're blocking or if it's rather, I guess it is.
Blood can't get to your brain. Oxygen isn't getting there
so
either.
Even if they're not blocking your breath, they're blocking the blood flow.
I guess another way to put it is, no matter how a person becomes unconscious, actually there's other harms to this, but I'm not going to get into the subconscious right now. But if you're unconscious, your brain's dying. And I just want to know how much damage these guys can do. You know, like, maybe it's okay to be unconscious for 2 minutes, but 5 minutes is, you know, the kids are going to break before they even get out of college.
I know that Becky Johnson was up there on campus today. She's a video journalist who was videoing some of it, and she also did a workshop up there today.
Oh, great.
And apparently the UC police chief came into her workshop. I'm trying to get her to call in. She got a 45-minute, or I don't know how long it was. I heard she got a long interview with him, and he actually discussed this question of pain compliance holds. Not that that necessarily should make us any more reassured, but it might make some interesting listening.
It might be part of an answer to how badly these children were hurt in a way they won't know till later.
Well, they may be adults as well. I don't know.
Many of
them are probably over 18 or over, you know, making their own choices.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's any more okay to do that, too. Somebody, whether they're over or under 18.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, that's not what we're paying the police for. Not to knock their brains out. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But
well, I don't
think,
I don't think
the public believes that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't. I think it's, you know, it's a lot of us, and there's a lot of discussion on the internet about how angry people are about this. This police assault. And as one student put it on the audio tape.
they're being beaten up for camping, you know.
Yeah, there's, but they weren't. They were beaten up for nothing.
Yeah.
They were beaten up for being there.
Wait a minute, Linda. They were being beaten up because they refused to leave after 8 o'clock at night because it is a university policy that apparently
they were being beat up because of a curfew law that happened back in the 70s.
Free speech only extends, you know, until 8 o'clock at night, after which it's, you know, it's gone.
Being is canceled at 8 for adults, as you put it, as you point out.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to carry this adulthood too far. After all, the university is the university.
And they are responsible for these children, but their idea of safety is something from out of the dark ages, as far as I could see, and I was up there Monday.
There's some interesting, I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, I hate to even go into the kinds of bullshit that the university has been putting out around this and the mainstream media that there were, and if you look on indie media, you'll see people defending the police because they claim the students were too loud or too noisy, and that had nothing to do with it whatsoever. They weren't too loud and too noisy. I was up there.
Yeah, nobody asked them to be quiet either. They asked them to disperse. You're breaking the law of unlawful assembly.
They were quiet.
That's the only thing they were told. I was there.
We were both there. You know, I know, I saw you up there. The question, though, to me is, and that this is what I put to the, you know, what happens next? I mean, people are going to file complaints about police misconduct that are going to be ignored by the university, and indeed the students yesterday, I should say the community, and the day before, they abandoned the site that they had won. It was kind of,
yeah, that was sad.
What you don't hear in this audio is the success, the ultimate success of what happened. After about another half hour of this methodical torture of students, which I think, as I said, was being done to intimidate and terrify the rest of the community, and it worked.
Yeah.
Don't make any mistake. It worked.
Yeah.
There's no question that it worked, because while at the moment it produced outrage and anger and more people showed up, it intimidated the leadership of the Tent University so that they then decided without a public meeting, without a consensus process, to instead disperse.
It's kind of harder to give everybody a chance to talk when the police are dragging them away unconsciously.
Excuse me. The police had stopped dragging them away. And this was after the police had stopped it all. They had won their victory. They had gotten all kinds of new students involved who had come to observe and were outraged by what they saw.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting down and having a meeting and talking about how do we deal with this victory, what do we do now? Just continuing with their original plan of holding a tent university. They defended their space autonomously. And then what they did was they sent a very inspiring 100 people down to the jail, and for 4 hours they engaged in jailhouse solidarity, is what I heard. I wasn't there.
And
that was great. But what they also did was, without, in a kind of a de facto deal behind the backs of the other students and the rest of the community, not because I think they had any sinister motives, but because they were frightened, they were intimidated, they were co-opted, and they were also, you know, they also have other objectives in the Tent University. They thought, well, we're not, you know, the issue is some of the older faculty, Bettina Aptecker, for example, and others, we're making the point. They made the point the next day, and the point has been made by some students and members of that community, that the issue is not camping. The issue is not to hold an autonomous space. The issue is to hold some meetings to come up with a platform to assist in other kinds of actions in the days ahead.
Yes.
That was a secondary issue, too.
Visibility. The whole thing about Tent U is about students asking their communities for support before their school's destroyed through cuts, irrational cuts, mm-hmm. irresponsible cuts. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay, well, anything else you want to say about this, Linda? I'm going to move to the
next
potential
caller. No, but I do hope someone will call you who knows human biology.
Okay, if anybody knows about pain compliance holds and how long it takes to damage the brain,
unconsciousness.
Please give a call. I suggest, you know, you can probably find out that kind of information by going online, too.
I'm not a techie.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, let's hope somebody else is.
But I'm about to become one. If I ever
Alrighty.
Do something like that again, I'm going to be ready.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Phone line's open, 427-3772. And we have a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi, Robert.
Hey, what's happening?
This is Roger Mensch.
Roger Mensch, the evil Hemporium genius who's sinisterly giving out and selling medical marijuana.
That is I.
So you got your comeuppance. They dragged you into court, and now they're sentencing you to how many years in prison if they have their will?
6 or 7, I believe.
6 or 7. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Roger. I know that I've just checked Indie Media, and you are having a benefit tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a frontline story. A22 joining the rocking reggae benefit for medical marijuana provider Roger Minch.
Yeah, it's the Western Medicine Tour.
What's that about?
The benefit itself?
Yeah. Want to give us some details?
Well, it's the benefit for my legal defense fund for the appeals of my case, of which you know that I was found guilty for sales and possession of marijuana, even though it was for medical patients.
Mm-hmm. Even though you sold only to people with medical marijuana cards?
That's correct.
And they never claimed that you sold to anyone else?
That's right.
And how much marijuana was recovered?
Dried stuff, maybe an ounce and a half.
Have any of the local organizations like WHAM come out on behalf of you and spoken up, maybe sent a letter to the district attorney or to Judge Stevens urging they not go after you because it would be a blow against medical marijuana providers?
Well, I'm not sure if WHAM has, but I know Mayor Rotkin has written a letter on my behalf stating that he believes it was an injustice.
I think I may have read that letter on the air, and indeed it's posted on Indie Media website, and I did commend him. I talked to Rotkin on Tuesday morning. We had a little interview, which I'm going to play on, I guess on Sunday when the show comes back, the long show on Sunday morning at 9:30. So, although it's kind of strange, Rotkin is trying to write you a character letter, and he doesn't know you. I don't know what kind of weight the judge is going to give that, but, I mean, I'm glad he comes out and says that. Now, of course, the next thing he does is he ratifies the closing down of the Pacific Cannabis Cooperative. So, I don't know where Rotkin's head's at, frankly.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I think I do know.
I think
Rotkin's
the two cases are completely different.
Well, if you claim to be for medical marijuana, it's all very well to say, "Oh, I support this guy who's not in my jurisdiction, who's up in Felton." But as for people who are downtown who need medical marijuana, I'm just going to close down the only place in the city limits that can provide medical marijuana to people. You know, thank you very much. I mean,
I understand that at that point because
it's bullshit.
There's no place to get medical marijuana.
But I mean, the point to me is that Rotkin is a power in Santa Cruz. He can babble all he wants about Nicaragua or Washington or Felton. But, you know, in Santa Cruz where he has some power, you can tell what's really going on by what he does. And what he does is he says he's not going to allow the Pacific Cannabis Cooperative to reopen at the location it was in. And they're not providing any assistance in opening elsewhere. Although he made some, you know, I hope you do well. He gave them I hope you do well as he essentially ratified the closing them down. I mention that because I think Rotkin's a hypocrite. I'm glad he wrote this letter for you, but I think it should be viewed in the context of what he's doing to everybody else. And I think a lot of people should write letters for you, and I'd be happy to write one myself. If, of course, it might persuade them to put you in jail for 20 years. So this is A22. What is A? That's April 22nd. There we go. That's at the Vets Hall tomorrow night, 8 p.m. to midnight is what it says. And how much is this going to set us all back? How much money are you looking for from people at the door?
Well, they can get tickets at Chopsticks or the Rhythm Shop or Glassroots downtown for $10. At the door, it's $15 to $20. With the sliding scale.
You got any speakers that are coming to this, like, you know, Chris Conrad or, I don't know.
Well, I don't have anybody, no speakers. There's three bands that are going to play.
Bands
I know that Andrea from the Compassion Flower Inn is coming.
Cool.
And we just spoke with... And we have raffles. We have a lot of great gifts to be raffled off. There's going to be burgers and... veggie burgers and soda and water. So, it should be a great event.
All right. And this is tomorrow night, Veterans Hall. For those who don't know where the Veterans Hall is, it's at... what's the address of the Veterans Hall, do you know?
It's 846 Front Street.
There we go.
It's right next to the post office.
Okay. What can people do who can't make this benefit but want to help?
Well, they could write letters to either Judge Stevens. Then go. Well, you know, there is a website up. It's taken some time to get it up, but it's www.rogerscase.com.
Oh, I hadn't heard of that.
Actually shows the benefit, but we'll have updated pages. And but writing to Judge Stevens, the probation officer, Lori Feldstein, and at the website, they'll have addresses.
That's great.
Available.
There's also some numbers, I guess, at the on the indie media that some of the from the older story when you were going to trial.
Yeah, there's a barrage of numbers there. That's good too. I mean, I've written Sam Farr as well, and I've tried to get some media, other media, and so I, you know, basically the reason I think Mike came out for me is there was enough people standing up for me, right? That it was probably good for him to do that as well. But I'm really happy that he had. That's for sure. He's the only one that basically has stood up, really showed strong support as a political figure.
Who is this?
This is Mike Rodkin. I mean, I've written to all the Board of Supervisors back after I got arrested, and nobody contacted me whatsoever. So I am very happy and fortunate to have him on my side.
Well,
but, I understand your feelings as well.
Yeah, no, I'm you know, I commended him personally. That was the last thing I said to him in our interview. I said, you know, and I want to commend you for, you know, your letter to Roger, you know, on behalf of Roger Minch. Now I hope you can also, you know, maybe tell the Santa Cruz police to stop busting the kids downtown who are engaging in small scale sales of marijuana, you know, simply to survive in ways that don't injure anyone, you know. Make it the lowest priority, as it has been, you know, made in Berkeley and now with Proposition or Measure Z in Oakland. And Rodkin, I think he said something that there it was already the lowest priority. It's sort of like with Rodkin, it's already been done, or oh, it's in the process of being done. But in fact, if you look at 5 years of no cannabis club here in Santa Cruz, it ain't being done. And if you look at the ongoing harassment of the homeless, it's also not being done. I mean, the measures needed to protect them. So. But I'm glad he wrote you that letter. I'm sorry, I can't get too enthusiastic about him, but, you know,
I
hope people write your letters for you, and you know, let's remember your sentencing date is what, May 2nd?
May 2nd. It's 8:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there will be a rally outside as well.
Outside the courthouse at 701 Ocean?
Yes.
Well, that's cool. Is there more you want to say? Anything? Any new developments in this case that you want to mention?
No, nothing. Nothing new at this point. I haven't heard anything new other than we'll go forward with the appeal.
All right.
So make our motion for that.
And
hopefully, you know, hire some high-powered attorneys.
Well, I'd like to see some
attorney, right?
I'd like to see some high-powered sit-ins in the DA's office, frankly. I mean, you know, this I don't understand. I'd see there's no excuse for this prosecution, and it seems to me that it's time for, I mean, obviously to get a pardon, now you got to go to the governor or some bullshit like that. But I'd like to make sure this doesn't happen again, frankly. You know, I mean, I to me it's an example of a bunch of people being kidnapped and held in prison and all their property being seized by a bunch of thieves in high places with fancy names and badges and robes on. And it really...
Well, yeah, and then, but I mean...
That's all it is.
You know, on the stand, we got them to say that two of the officers are paid by the DEA grant as well as a half a district attorney. So you have the federal government's hand into all this.
It's outrageous. But I mean, the federal government is not, you know, I mean, it's the local government that they're supposed to be responsible to. The federal government is, you know, in the hands of right-wing extremists. And, of course, it's been in the hand of drug war prohibitionists for years, including under the great liberal Clinton. But, you know, the fact of the matter is locally, I'm assuming we should actually have some say, and we do if we want to exercise it, just like those students have say and exercise it and got the police to leave. Because they realized they were creating more and more opponents. They were creating more and more angry, radicalized students, so they left. And the only thing we've got to be careful is that we don't fold. We don't say, oh, well, now we've got, now we, you know, let's all go home. Because, you know.
Sure. Well.
Because, you know, I mean, the,
I'm here.
750,000 of us have gone home to jail this year for, you know, in the marijuana arrests. So, thank you.
A lot of money.
Right.
A lot of money, a lot of time behind bars.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Roger Mensch. If you want to get in touch with Roger, is there should they go to the website? Should they call you? What should they do?
They can call me at 295-3511.
295-3511?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, thank you, Roger, and good luck. And good luck tomorrow night at the 8 o'clock benefit at the Vets Hall.
Okay, Robert.
All right.
We'll see you there.
I may well be there.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Phone lines open, 427-3772. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, broadcasting at 101.1 FM, and with a little delay, so turn down your radio if you're calling in. And also at www.freakradio.org. My show is archived at www.huffsantacruz.org. You're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert. How you doing? It's Andrea.
Hey, Andrea. What's the good word?
Oh, I just wanted to let Roger Mensch know that I wish I could go to that benefit down at the Vets Hall tomorrow night, but I can't. I can't afford it. But it sounds like a lot of fun, and I am going to definitely try to get up on May 2nd and go down to the courthouse and at least be there for moral support, you know. But I just wanted to let him know that, you know, I'm with him in spirit, you know, and I'm standing behind him, so.
Yeah, well, I know that it's hard for you because I saw you yesterday. You were on a walker.
Yeah.
And you're in pain, and we've actually talked about this before. I'm actually going to be playing an interview with you. Probably, I don't know if I'm going to have time to play it tonight because I think I'm going to get a lot of calls here, and I'm going to play the public calls. But we talked about a week and a half ago at the city council meeting. You were looking for some medical marijuana. You displayed openly the kind of medications you have to use because you're not allowed access to medical marijuana in Santa Cruz, liberal Santa Cruz, thanks to Mayor Rutkin's law. So
Not even so much of not just the accessibility. It needs to be, you know, people like me need to have access to it, and who can't afford it.
Right. Right, like the benefit, yeah.
You know, and the WHAM, you know, a four-year waiting list. I've got the application to mail back to them, but it's a four-year waiting list.
Right. Well, you know, actually, I heard from Valerie Corral for the first time ever, actually.
Okay.
She called me back twice and said that she would be interested in being on this show. And I invited her to come on at any time. And she still is. Valerie, if you're listening, Valerie Corral is one of the heads of WHAM. You know, you are invited at any time.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, I'm waiting, and I'd love to have you on the air. Particularly, we can, you know, talk about issues, and we can have some other people as well, kind of debating back and forth.
Oh, most definitely.
But I'm not going to hold my breath, frankly. But you know, who knows? Stranger things have happened, and I'm waiting and I'm hoping.
All we can do is think positive. Gotta think positive and put those vibes out there.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrea.
Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
All righty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you can call in if you want, 427-3772, 427-FRSC is the number to call. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norse. And I think what I'm going to do is, what I got here? I'm going to pick up on that medical marijuana show because that really is what we were doing last time. And in order for me to effectively talk about Tent University, I'd love to get a call from someone up at Tent University. I put in a message to Austin, whose cellular phone I have, but he hasn't called back yet. If anybody wants to call in, has any access to what's going on up there, any reports from Tent University today, I invite you to do so. And love to hear the report. I suspect there's really a lot of discussion on indie media that's really very challenging. It's a really gut-wrenching thing. And I don't mean the police violence. That's nothing unusual. That's seen it before. It's horrible. What's interesting is when the students who'd never been arrested before, students who have never been brutalized before, students who didn't know this existed, stood in the face of this together and said no. And in saying no, the police backed off. I saw it downtown in 1994 and with the sit-down protests when masses of people kept sitting down and Kennedy's police, Rotkin's police, he was in, on the city council at that time, so was Matthews, kept coming in and busting people under his sit-on-the-sidewalk-go-to-jail law, and more people would sit down. And that's what happened here. They were reclaiming public space. They were having a peaceful public assembly that was being broken up by the police, and they refused to let it happen. How did it get broken up? Because their own leaders did it. That's the sad thing. And it's and as I've talked about before, that can happen, obviously, because there are other, you know, other strategies, other objectives. But the real key issue, before you can go to any of these other issues that people are pursuing, and then I've heard a lot of this, you have to fight your battles one at a time, and you know, you don't want to provoke the police, you don't want to offend the media, you don't want to antagonize and scare away other students. This didn't scare away other students. This brought the community together to watch what was going on and to really see in a way that no seminar could have told them what was happening. But it, in meeting after meeting, as there wasn't, as I said, there was not a meeting that night. And that night, when there was this moment of victory, instead of the victory maintaining itself, it was essentially passed over. The students agreed to have only five people there, have the rest of the people go to the quarry, and they also went downtown with a jailhouse solidarity effort. The next night, They met again to decide whether they were going to try to reclaim the same space that they had won the night before, but then voluntarily given up. Although there was the threat of more police action, but realistically speaking, as at Sprout Hall in 1964 in the free speech movement in Berkeley, were the police going to come back and do it again? You know, I mean, certainly it's a horrific thing, but it seemed to me that they had realized that what they were doing was counterproductive. What they were doing was not going to accomplish the objective. In fact, it was recruiting more students for this thing. So instead, yeah, I like to. I mean, it's a nasty way of putting it, but in essence, what happened? Co-option and they co-opted the leaders, and they didn't co-opt them because the leaders are corrupt. They co-opted them because the leaders are new. They co-opt them because the leaders have other objectives. They co-opt them because the leaders don't want to see students hurt. But again, the process of this tent university was a process of everyone making decisions, and that was what was abandoned on that night. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hello, Robert. It's
hey, John. What's up?
Did anyone else call in about the tent university?
You mean about the tent university tonight, or?
Yeah.
Nothing has happened. I'd like to get some.
Okay, well, I'm up here right now.
Oh, good.
There's about 50 or 100 people in the tent right now just discussing their platform that they went over. I guess they had a meeting at 11 in the morning among the various groups to discuss, try to come to some sort of an idea of what they want for a platform for the end of the week. And I didn't hear anything back about what the administration did, whether they drop the charges or anything like that.
That was one issue, but the real issue is, are these students going to scatter and scamper as they did, I guess it was last night and the night before, before 8 o'clock? You saw the growing, you know, desire to even avoid any possible involvement with the police. I mean, I guess that's...
I'm not clear about what they're planning to do tonight. You know, there was, like, a meeting going to be here at, like, 9 o'clock.
I'm not
sure if they're leaving exactly at 8, but I think the focus now has shifted a little bit towards making a platform that addresses trying to get the university to be more democratic in its process for what it does, you know, in its daily activities, like what research it's doing and how it funds certain programs and stuff like that. We're talking about those sorts of things now.
Okay. And there's about 100 people up there, you say?
Yeah.
Inside the rectangular structure, which I understand has been expanded, right? It's gotten bigger than it was yesterday?
I didn't notice that it was any bigger than it was yesterday.
Because I know that was a controversy. I know that some students were somewhat...
They said that they would not allow it to expand the structure.
It's interesting because I heard from Becky Johnson, who gave me a report on the Internet here, that there had been a decision, an agreement, that they did expand the structure, but apparently you say it hasn't been expanded.
I didn't notice that it had been expanded. Maybe I haven't looked at it carefully, but...
Instead, they set up four little subsidiary blue tents that were sort of administration tents where people could, you know, hold little affairs instead of the large community structure. It seems like such a typical thing that the way the UCSC is set up is in these satellite colleges in different places. So
yeah, they designed it that way originally because they knew this was the 60s when they originally built it.
Right.
And they didn't want to have any.
And the university is doing exactly. They're doing exactly the same thing with this protest, this tent university. They're saying, okay, you can have little tents in different places, but don't try to have a big meeting place.
Yeah.
Don't try to all come together. That's too threatening to us, or we don't like that. There's a sort of an unconscious apprehension because when people come together, they are strong. They can be strong. And that was the strength that was so amazing to watch. Were you there? You were there on Monday night, right?
Yeah, I was there on Monday night. I kind of stood outside at the perimeter. I didn't want to.
Check
on. Wasn't even on UCSC property for part of the time.
Well, they had you spooked too, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's understandable. I mean,
anyway, and one of the things they were talking about tonight was they were, you know, one of the people who was arrested was going over one of his platform points that he brought up at his meeting, and he was saying something about how the UCSC system is set up to do research in some kind of biotechnology program where it's able to help develop the same biotechnology that they use to for DNA samples that they're getting for all the people that are currently being arrested in California for felony
charges. Yeah, I remember that.
DNA tested, and he said that may expand to even misdemeanors in the next couple of years.
Well, they get away with this stuff because people are obedient and subservient, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they can get away with it, because people are afraid. And when you see guys in riot gear with truncheons and pepper spray and pain compliance holes prepared to choke you, drag you off, and inveigle you into entangle you in court proceedings, there's a reason to be frightened. But maybe there's a greater reason to be frightened in that they can use this threat to actually fundamentally change your life in all kinds of ways, subtle ways, that will, you know, impoverish your life and impoverish your communications with other people and your community, you know.
And there was one announcement I wanted to make in case people are interested in a more or less, I don't know whether you call it a meaningless concert for Mumia or just some sort of gathering for Mumia and gathering for Lynn Stewart in San Francisco. I mean, I don't know how effective it's going to be, but we're going to be gathering there at 18th and Dolores, it's Mission High School in San Francisco on Sunday the 24th at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the admission price is $20 for general and $15 for students and seniors to get to see Michael Ferranti and Lynn Stewart.
You also have a human rights organization meeting, I guess, on Saturday.
Saturday at 1:45 at the Coral Street cafeteria for the homeless shelter.
You know, that's something that I think was really, it's been brought up a lot on indie media in the course of this debate about Tent University and how the police reacted and how the students stood and how outrageous police behavior was. It's really kind of an education for students because they can see how homeless people are treated and the kind of threats they face every night. And that is one of the issues you're addressing out there at this human rights organization on Saturday, right?
Right.
So that's what, 1:45 to 2:45 Saturday at 115 Coral Street?
Right.
In the dining hall, right?
In the dining hall.
Okay. And how can people get involved with the human rights organization if they want to and they can't make that meeting?
You can call 425-4467.
425-4467?
Yeah. It's also the voicemail for the Mumia Coalition, what's left of the Mumia Coalition in Santa Cruz.
Does it look like, what's the mix look like among the students tonight up there at Tent University? You're not at the quarry. You're at
the basic campus right now.
Bay and High Street. And most people look familiar to you, or are there a lot of new faces?
They look familiar to me, most of them.
How are people looking? I know they look kind of gloomy the last couple nights when I saw them. People kind of, some people felt betrayed. Other people were tired. Some people were just exhausted
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. They look like they had a good discussion today at their platform meeting.
Oh, that's good. And is there any kind of sense of what they intend to do again tonight? Are they? I know there was talk about at the last meeting last night about a large civil disobedient direct action event to end the Tent University on Friday afternoon, blocking roads or something. I don't know. There was sort of a vague statement.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything specific about that
It seemed to me like, you know, as I warned the person who made it, it's sort of like you're, you know, a bold thing as you disappear into the quarry, you know. I mean,
yeah, they should just take over one building. They should try to take over everything. It's not going to work with only 50 people.
But, you know, I mean, as I said, there is so much power and so much idealism there that, and also so many abuses that they're trying to address that it seems to me that there is the energy and there is the person power to do it if they do. So,
yeah.
So if anything else happens up there, I mean, I'd like to know if they scatter at 8 o'clock again. And frankly, I mean, you know, I was criticized last night because I was saying you're running because you're afraid of the police, and people were saying, no, we're not. And then they were all, you know, they all took off at eight, you know, they went about 8:30, 8:45. The police hadn't even really threatened them at all, but they wanted to. I don't know. They were afraid of it, and everything was suddenly being done. The new priority was, what are the police going to do to us? And it's just, it's, you know, obviously it's a consideration in any of these, in anything you do in our society. You obviously have to worry. Are you going to get beaten up? Are you going to, you know, your loved one's going to get torn away from you? It's real. But when you get together a group that tries to fight that and to establish something new, then that's hopefully what might happen too.
Yeah, we'll see what if anything happens.
Give me a report.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye. And phone line again open, 427-3772. Let's see if any got anything. I'm checking the Pages in Color, www.pagesincolor. According to Becky Johnson, who went up there, they did, the students and the community with the Tate University people did extend what's called the shade structure. I called it the rectangle of resistance because it was where people were doing their civil disobedient sit down. We're going to stay in this space when the police came and started torturing them to make them leave. She said that they did extend the shade structure, and they also have four tiny structures as well. And let's see what we got here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, that's me.
Anita.
That's me.
The infamous MedX woman.
I am here. I'm back. I've been listening in my car.
You're about to give away medical marijuana to everybody in town, including Tent University. Is that true? That
unlikely. One? Unlikely. Mm. But the parallels are there, I can tell you. You know, I was up on campus for about 11 years, and they have the same complaints, and they count on this transitory population. I remember having so many complaints, and they don't do anything. I remember being a graduate student going out on strike. The same things they're doing now, 20 years later. Not much has changed. But I was listening, and I heard Roger Mensch call in. I haven't met the fellow yet. Perhaps I may attend his benefit tomorrow night.
That'd be great.
Maybe get to see who he is, maybe support him in his effort. I don't even know too many of the details.
Mm-hmm. It's on ND Media for those who don't. You haven't seen it, and if you haven't seen it yourself, Anita, just...
Yeah, no, I've seen it, but, you know, I want to meet the man.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, that's the most important thing. But, hey, let's give some praise to Andrea and Maria for yesterday. Wasn't that a fabulous celebration?
It was wonderful. Yeah, it was great. The thing that disturbs me is that, of course, for 364 days a year, for the next 364 days a year, there will be no place in Santa Cruz to get medical marijuana you can walk in and, you know, do it at. I mean, people like you are, you know, working hard to make sure that a couple dozen people at best get medical marijuana.
Well, you know, other people certainly can do what I've been trying to do successfully so far, knock wood.
Right.
But other people can certainly do it. I think the best thing to do is just don't bring attention to yourself.
You're talking about distributing cannabis sort of by courier, right?
Well, by hook or by crook, you know, people need to have access to it.
We shouldn't have to do that. That's
well, they shouldn't
crap.
Have to, whether, but, you know, they are doing it, and we don't like that they're doing it, and we do want to see the county do something. And we can keep pressing the city. I think we need to press the city and the Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening. I didn't know that Mike Rutkin had written a letter for Roger Mensch.
Yeah, he's written a letter for Roger Mensch, but what about the rest of us in Santa Cruz? What about his constituents?
Right. Right,
come on.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree with you, Robert. You know, our tactics are a little bit different, but I certainly give props to Matt, fine fellow I met yesterday. Matt Hilliard, right, who had opened up the club on Pacific Avenue.
Right.
That was a pleasure to meet him. I'd like to support them in their effort, although I don't think they're going to be allowed to stay in that location, and neither do you, Robert.
Mm.
Do you?
I don't think they're going to be allowed to stay in any location. I don't think there hasn't been a club that's been able to open in 5 years. I mean, that's the problem. You know, I mean, after with a lot of pressure, it's possible we can get them to allow some club to open up in the boonies somewhere, and that'd be better than nothing.
Well, it would be better than nothing, right. and it would be a start. I think what we really need to do is just hold these elected officials accountable for what they say and what they do.
Dig it.
And how they arbitrarily decide right. who they're going to stand behind and who they're going to throw to the wolves.
Right, exactly.
You know, because it's all done arbitrarily, I'm sure. I don't know how they... How they decide who they want to go after.
I don't know. I mean, I've gotten reports from various people that Valerie Correll was the only person allowed into the maybe Mike, you know, we're into the discussions with Rotkin, and maybe it was Sugar, but it was Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice, Rotkin, and Matthews are the people who are currently on the council, helped put together this essentially no clubs in Santa Cruz
City
or Santa Cruz City ordinance. You know, Santa Cruz City, the city that passed, you know, well, the city that was the center of Proposition A, you know, the 1990s.
Well, the city that, you know, watched as CNN and helicopters drove overhead while Wham had their giveaway.
Right,
that's
right.
The contradiction. That's what troubles me.
Yeah, Mike Rotkin, you know, is there where they give out marijuana on the steps of City Hall, but they will not allow a club to open that anywhere in the city.
Right, especially if they're going to have a strict sanitary standard, as I understand they were trying to do on Pacific Avenue. I think the biggest mistake there was location, location, location. What's
wrong with Pacific Avenue? You know, Andrea's Compassion Flower ends a block away.
You know, Robert, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think
the
it's
medical
a great
marijuana,
location.
Right, the medical marijuana club at you know, on Maple Street was there for three years. You know, Wham distributed from Front Street for I don't know how many years.
And
out
of the drop-in
crap.
Center, which was a perfect location.
The drop-in center.
Think it's too bad they even made the move from there because I think that cannabis is an excellent alternative to
it's ridiculous.
People and who are in recovery.
It's not just ridiculous. It is criminal behavior to make people suffer for this. And what's unfortunate is that we allow it to go on. For the same reason that university students allow their right to assemble to be eliminated at 8 o'clock at night because they are afraid. We are afraid.
Well, with good reason, Robert. Because people don't want to be hit on the head, and people don't want to be locked away in jail, and people have a lot to lose. And I remember also, Robert, when I was a student up at the university and I was getting financial aid, I had to sign papers that said I wouldn't use any illegal drugs or they could take away my financial aid. I mean, you are really restricted when you agree to be a student up at the university. I don't know whether people understand all the paperwork they sign.
That's why it was so liberating when the students said, we're not going to be restricted. We're
right.
standing up for it. And
right.
in doing that, they forced the university back. We saw in 1964, they forced the university
every decade.
Back.
Robert, this is nothing new. That's what's so interesting,
right.
to be an older person and to know the history and to watch what goes on in this town, how
yeah.
the university
yeah.
is so entwined with city politics.
But what's really interesting to me is to screw the university, screw city politics. What I like to see is when people get together and say no together.
Well, I like to see that also, but you have to remember the university is a rich, powerful institution that has young, middle class, most of them, students who are very privileged to go up there and get that education, and they never forget reminding you. You know, they don't let you forget
it
what a privilege it is.
But it was
to be
those
up there.
Same privileged students that were willing to take blows
yeah,
on Monday night,
yeah,
repeated
right.
blows from the
right.
police. I don't mean right. truncheon blows. The police did do a few truncheon blows, but I'm talking about their pain compliance, the brutality with which they tore people up and
over. Robert, I know how the
away.
Police operate. I've witnessed it and
right.
I've seen
because they did that. Because what I'm saying is that kind of resistance is what reassures
the flames of youth. Yeah, totally. Totally. My fear is that they're going to get burnt. Like you said, they're either going to be afraid or they just get burnt out. See, as we're coming now, it's May. School's going to be over in June. I mean, the campus officials count on this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember before College 8 was even built and everybody was protesting. I mean, this just goes on all the time. This is no surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's new issues that come up. I like to see the medical marijuana issue becoming a part of it because, believe it or not, there are a lot of university students who are documented who suffer either from glaucoma or have cancers or have migraine headaches or for one reason or another are documented and are able to do good work.
Yeah, I'd love to do a huff and puff tent tomorrow on campus, frankly.
Oh, Robert, calm down now.
No,
we don't
want to
make things worse than they
that
are.
That makes
for
it
them.
Better, not worse.
We want to help.
Andre.
We want to help. these young people be successful, not get hit on the head or arrested.
No,
because nobody
wants to help them stand up to unjust power. Otherwise, all this successful shit isn't worth a damn.
Well, I just don't like leading people to the slaughter. I don't like that idea. I like to try to work within the system.
If every attempt to change things is leading people to the slaughter, then you're saying there's no way to change things.
Well,
and
you know,
that is wrong.
Sorry to say that. That's
wrong.
What happens when you get a good university education and you learn about institutions. It's the truth, Robert. I don't really think much is going to change. I don't
not
mean
unless
to be
we change. Not unless we have more events like happened on April 18th.
Well, yeah. Well, we
and
need
that,
them.
That involves risking, you know, getting hit on the head. It's true. It does. It really does. Because if you're not, you're afraid of that, then you and you're going to succumb to that fear. Then you are stopped. You are stopped.
Robert, then go out there and get hit on the head.
It's happened.
Use the privilege. You know, lose your privilege of going to the university. Lose, you know, the approval of your parents. Young people have a lot
if
to
you
lose.
Do it
I'm
together,
not saying they shouldn't
if
protest.
If you do it
they
together, you don't
this.
Lose it. If you do it together, you don't lose it. That's the lesson. See?
Well,
and the same is true with medical marijuana. If enough people stand up,
activism is good, no matter where it's working. Activism is good,
yeah.
And youth is powerful, and mm-hmm. we depend on the youth. Because we certainly didn't do it. Our generation didn't do it.
Well, we did some. You know,
if we did, our city leaders and our board of supervisors would be a little bit different, wouldn't they? So I don't really think our generation did that much. And I come from a progressive town, New York, and this is a progressive little city. So,
well, we're still here. Let's put it that way.
We're still here, and I'm just grateful that we're allowed to exist in the ways that we are.
Allowed to
so
exist.
So I know that a lot of work needs to be done, but the glass is half full. We do have places like the Compassion Flower Inn. We do have MedX, which has existed for over 8 years. We do have some place in Aptos. I do hope that people can find a place in the designated areas, or maybe they'll work to change those designated areas.
It's not just that. They require special use permits to take 3 to 6 months.
They don't want a dispensary here. That's what it comes down to.
Right.
It's so frustrating.
And therefore, what
for
we
me
need to do is get together, all of us, and say no in visible public ways, such as I suggested.
But I think that's,
you know,
I think that's
Kent
been
University.
Done. You have Andrea going and speaking. You have her writing letters to the editor. You have people.
That's the beginning. It's a beginning. And indeed, Metro printed my letter yesterday.
I saw it. Actually, I wanted to mention that to you. I saw that mm-hmm. monster. What, I have it right here. Yeah, they called it Monster Slamming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Loved it. Did they edit it much, or is that pretty
I
much?
I think that it was pretty much written, you know, done intact, although I've got to look at the original letter again. This is a letter for those who are interested, which is you can read in the Metro. Metro used to print a lot of letters. Now it prints about 3. It's got
well, you were
bad.
Fortunate to get yours in, and it was a good letter, Robert.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
good
well,
letter. Yeah, it came out yesterday. And people should pick it up and look at it. And you always are calling by name, Rotkin and Fitzmaurice.
They
the
did
carpet.
It. You know, they're responsible. They're on the council. They can change it, you know, if they want.
If they wanted. Well, so can Cynthia Matthews. So can Emily Riley.
Yep.
I mean, come
That's
on.
Right.
This
That's
woman
right.
traveled around the country praising Wham and talking. You know, they like the praise
Damn
of
right.
CNN and everybody was
I
here.
Agree.
They like that.
By the way, I got her, as I mentioned before in the program, you may have heard Valerie Corral said that she's interested in coming on the show. And if she is, I'd love to have you be here with her to compliment the situation.
Oh, I would love to be there with her to compliment a show with her. But, Robert, I are you serious? I heard you talking when she was on Vinny's show, and you succumbed to her charm.
Oh,
I can't imagine how she would wrap you around her finger.
Well, I've always been
in
love with
her.
No, I mean, actually, she called me for the first time. She called me back when I left her a message saying that she was invited on the Sunday show.
And she said, well, why don't you ever call me? What's your question, dear?
Well, actually, that conversation you heard, which was played on Sunday, was a Friday call-in on Vinny's show, and I was replaying it.
Okay.
And what happened was after
no,
that...
No, I listened to Vinny's show, and she was 40 minutes late. I listened waiting
she was.
For her to come
she,
on, and she did. She showed up 40 minutes
right,
late.
Right, she showed up 40 minutes late, and at the very end of the show, I called in.
Right,
and
I heard the whole thing.
So I played that segment again mm-hmm. on Sunday, and right before Sunday, I left her a message on her phone line saying... You're invited to come in on Sunday because Andrea was coming in to talk, and Andrea
okay.
Tischler, the Compassion Flower Inn.
She'd show up with Mickey and
And showed up
Theodora.
With a bunch of interesting folks, including, mm-hmm. you know, Jim Losey and other mm-hmm. people came
in.
In
a nice full house.
Yeah, great, interesting discussion. A very, very, I recommend it to people. Check it out at www.huffsantacruz.org. It's archived there. It's worth listening to.
I got to hear the show live, and it was a great show.
But anyway, Valerie's been invited, and she called me back saying that I'd called her late, and, you know, that you know how could she come into a late show? And
well,
called...
should she ever call and tell you she wants to come on a show, I would love to come
right.
on.
Right, and I called back, and I said, you know, well, you're invited. And she said, oh, well, I'd be interested if provider we can work, you know, I want to talk to you about it first. So,
because she doesn't want to be confronted, and I wouldn't want to be on a show that would be confrontational. Uh-huh. But it would be nice.
Well, you probably don't want to be on my show because I do confront people. So,
I would like her to just be a little more generous as far as seeing the public as, you know, in need instead of just WHAM members. I know she's so gracious with her WHAM members, but it would be nice if she could be publicly more generous with her words.
Well, right, and I would, in fact, confront her on that issue, and as well as, I do confront people, because particularly if they're in positions of power, they need to be held accountable, and much of the time people are kind of angling for a little of that power, so, as you said, they succumb to their charms. I was, being nice to her.
But like I say, should she call, which I doubt,
yeah.
And should she show, which I doubt,
right.
Invite me, Robert.
Sure.
And I don't want to tie your phone lines up unless there's anything in particular. Did you want to talk about? Oh, you know what I wanted to mention? I forwarded you an email today that people can call their representative from the House of Representatives. May 4th, Bonnie Franks is sponsoring for the third time the States' Rights to Medical Marijuana Act, and it'll be the third summer in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That they've voted on this, so people can kind of be aware of that. But I sent you something at the email address you gave me.
I think I saw that, yeah. And I'll try to announce that again on Sunday when I'm going to play some more of the medical marijuana debate at the actually interviews after the city council meeting from a week ago Tuesday. We can hear some more of that.
Well, then I'll certainly listen and certainly call in.
Hey.
Okay, and I'm going to untie your phone line because I know how frustrating it is if you want to call and the phone is busy.
Appreciate it, Anita. Thanks, Anita.
No problem, Robert. Have a good night.
All righty. Bye-bye. And phone lines open. We have about 10 minutes left before Uncle Dennis comes in, 427-3772. And if you want to give a call, you can. I'm actually probably going to try to do a little research myself here. I actually have heard that there is a interesting interview on my phone line, which I may be able to play for you. And we'll see if that's... So let's see what we got here. Maybe so. I'm checking it out here. So it sounds like Becky Johnson interviewing. So I'm going to play this interview on the air, folks. And let's see where we're at here. Here we go. This is an interview with, I believe, Police Chief Alufi, UC Police Chief Alufi, which Becky Johnson did up on campus today.
So were people trespassing when they were here at 8:01 p.m.?
Technically, yes.
Okay, and so you arrested 19 people, but there were at least, we've got photographs of at least 300 people who are also here. Can they expect to have an arrest warrant in the mail?
with our special guest, Chief Mickey Alufi of the UC Police.
I'm a resident. I live
I'm afraid it's really too hard to hear this, so I'm going to have to hope. Maybe we can convince Becky to put this onto a videotape and do a little video showing on campus the last day of Tent University. Who knows? That might be a possibility. I know Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, was planning to do a workshop on campus, and I guess Becky did a workshop today. She's a Huff member, and I don't know how it turned out. I was sort of out of town and running. Just got back in time for the show a few hours earlier, but actually not really in time to do much else. So maybe there'll be something happening up there. Running into the end of the show now, let me see if there's some more non-Tent University stuff. Well, let me give you a couple announcements here. I'm thinking that on Sunday we're going to have a couple of things. We're going to have some more street performers. I may have a street performing woman here in the studio. That's always a very beautiful voice. We can get her in here. We'll see if that works. There's going to be some follow-up on the Santa Cruz Coast Hotel. Of course, there'll be probably lots of info coming out of the conclusion of Tent University, which there are 19 students facing trespass, resisting arrest, and failure to disperse charges. And then there's the university facing the charge of police brutality against its own students and denial of public assembly rights, violation of the Constitution under color of law, all that stuff, which, of course, not being charged in court, but it's in the court of public opinion. Interesting situation. We've got a quick call here. It's Free Radio. You're on. Hi.
Is this the show that launched 1,000 Nazi salutes?
I wouldn't know about that. What can I do for you, caller?
Host, what are you offering?
What do you want, big boy?
Let's see, where to start? Let's start by talking seriously about this Tent University having any validity whatsoever.
Okay, remember, we're in the last 5 minutes of the show, so summarize as much as you can.
As much as I can, very quickly.
Right.
It is irrelevant when compared to the 60s protests in Berkeley, which were about tabling rights at Sproul Plaza, essentially. What you got going up here at UC right now is the right to dispute with economic reality and contest growing old.
Well, you know, I think there probably would have been those in 1964 who would have said to the students, you know, if you want to do some tabling, you can do it right downtown, 5 feet away on the sidewalk. You're just causing trouble here. You don't have to mess with the university. You don't have to prompt the police. You don't have to put all the other students in danger of police violence. You have all these causes about civil rights downtown and integration and against the Vietnam War. But that's just fine. These are all, you know, your issues, but you don't have to mess up the campus with them. And I think that probably a lot of conservative people said that. But the students said, many of them, first they said, you know, Goldwaterites and Trotskyites alike, that we should be able to table. And then when the police moved in to arrest somebody, they, just like they did on Monday night here, all responded with a nonviolent refusal to obey. I mean, to me, it's very moving.
I don't see it being remotely similar.
Really?
Post.
I do.
Not even at all.
Really?
What I see up at UC Santa Cruz 2005, what I pick up on, is a rather immature attempt to evade growing old. And it has nothing to do, in my opinion, with a political protest of any consequence or meaning.
So you think that this...
If they wanted to take on an issue like the legalization of pot, for example, which has been trumpeted on your show
right
today, then I would say hallelujah.
All right.
But
well,
what I see is this right to bang drums and party and talk about...
they weren't partying and they weren't banging drums, man.
This unreal sense of liberalization when the reality is that the university system, as imperfect as it is challenged by the economics that we face.
Well, there are issues...
And the days... It's like a reversion to the 60s liberal... get a degree don't they still offer?
All right, let me respond to this,
degree?
Bob. The issue was there are a number of issues that they have on campus, some of which are not as important to me as they are to them. But you know, there's some obvious issues of us watching. For example, the idea that at 8 o'clock free assembly rights stop. The idea that camping is illegal everywhere in Santa Cruz and throughout the campus, even though there's no facilities for people, because some people, as they were dragged away, screamed about this is what the homeless suffer for just doing this, and they weren't even camping after 11. They were being arrested previously. I mean, it seems to me that there's basic constitutional rights being violated here.
The camping issue is an issue having to do with health, and I would say immediately that you're wrong right there. I think that the protest, that the so-called protest, was merely the right to be loud.
That's always what students are accused of.
To express adolescent behavior in public.
I think you've become old, Bob.
I don't think so, Robert. We're not living in 1967 or 77 when a degree in the history of consciousness could get you very far. Now they probably still offer a degree in the.
I got a roll on you, Bob. We can take this.
If you take a degree in philosophy, you got to roll with it.
I got a roll. Listen, call back on Sunday if you want to take up the discussion.
Take care.
All right, man. So that's it for Bathrop Spear's Broadsides tonight. If you want more information about Tent University, go to Indie Media. If you have trouble getting to Indie Media, try Googling for it. Don't try the direct website. I find that I can get there better by doing that. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi. I'm glad that I'm able to get in the last word here, I think, because both of you are wrong, frankly, in terms of what this rally's about. I don't pretend to speak for the students either, but as an independent observer of the events on Monday and some of the after events since, it seems to me that what's getting lost in all this is that the students are pissed about the fact that the tuitions are going up, that their opportunities for certain types of humanities programs are decreasing, that you know, that they're upset about the wages that the campus workers are receiving, you know, in addition to the civil liberties and the right to gather, which are all equally a part of it. You know, I think it's disingenuous for Bob to say it's just adolescent youth being loud, and at the same time, I think it's disingenuous for you to say that this is about the sleeping ban, Robert. You know, I mean, I see you latching on to this as your own protest.
I didn't say it was about the sleeping ban.
I think that's completely disingenuous of you.
V-Man, I didn't say it was about the sleeping ban. I said that's what some students said as they were dragged away.
That's true, but I
think they were being dragged away.
What's getting lost in all this is that part of it. You know, and like, let's be realistic about it. That's why people are upset on the campus in the first place. I mean, this other stuff is kind of like secondary, in my view.
Well, it wouldn't even be raised as an issue, I don't think, unless this Tent University had come about, and I'm glad it has. Any updates on what's happened today?
I haven't been up there today. I've been working on other projects. I have my show tomorrow from 3 to 5.
Hey, what's going to be coming up?
Covering Earth Day. We'll be going over a little bit of the Tent University stuff. I don't have a whole bunch of time for that because I do have a couple other guests, but yeah, I'll be talking mostly about Earth Day and climate change. We're going to be talking about the potential for some logging up in the Santa Cruz Mountains and also mountaintop removal. I'll be tying that in with the Tent City stuff because one of my guests gave a workshop on mountaintop removal at Tent City, and
I saw that guy,
he's going to come in and talk about that and also talk about the Tent City stuff. So.
3 to 5 tomorrow.
3 to 5 tomorrow, 101 FM.
Thanks
Robert.
Man. All right, man. And that's it for Bathrop Spear's Broadsides. Uncle Dennis should be here shortly. We're signing off. And tune in again 9:30 on Sunday, and I'll be back. Meantime, 423-4833. If you've got any messages, want to be on the show, any questions, and you can check us out. The archive version of the show is at www.huffsantacruz.org.
Mister, I just overheard you talking through your drink. How the Russians lie like rugs, how they've pushed us to the brink. Now sit right here beside me, I've an old man's tale to tell. How Yanks and Reds were friends once at the L. My name is Joe Pulowski, I hitched up in 41. Left my sweetheart in Chicago, and I learned to fire a gun. The fog in the Ardennes so thick you could not see your nose, nor the ghosts in the Belgian wood advancing through the snow. We left Giants are dead behind us, and we scale the dragon's teeth. With screaming memes overhead, not one of us could sleep. Some fell to the enemy, some fell to the creeping cold, and I killed a German sniper who was not 14 years old. When a soldier takes a hit, my friend, it ain't like Hollywood. Bone and guts go flying, and everywhere there's blood. For a moment he is mystified, there must be some mistake, as it all drains out in a crimson lake. April turned the weather, and likewise the tide of war, as haggard, hungry Germans surrendered by the score. And thank God for the Russians, who took the battle's brunt, and broke the back of the Wehrmacht along the eastern front. And we saw a burst of lilacs and the river swift and wide, and rest and welcome waiting for us on the other side. And Yanks and Reds laughed out loud to be alive at the Elbe. We caught the gleams of water, and upon the distant shore, men and trucks and horses, not German and not ours. No bridge to cross, but at the dock, a boat securely tied. We blew the chain and rowed like demons for the other side. When we stepped upon the land, oh Jesus, what a sight. Blackened bodies of civilians, like driftwood piled high. Cut down by stray artillery, what the hell is it all for? We knelt and cursed the cruelty and madness meant for war. Three Russians approached us, we shook hands and then embraced. Stalingrad had traced its lines of sadness on their face. Upon that field of corpses, these weary, happy men swore an oath that it must never happen again. Then we wept and cheered and spoke in languages unknown. They poured us Russian vodka, by God we drank it down. We sang the Volga Boatman, they sang Tavern in the Town. And I never kissed so many men as on that afternoon. We saw a burst of lilacs and the river swift and wide, and rest and welcome waiting for us on the other side. And Yanks and Reds laughed out loud to be alive at the Elbe. But no sooner were we stateside than the Cold War headlines read. Commies in the unions, commies under every bed. Hurrah, the Nazi devil's down, long live the devil red. And not one word about the oath we swore amongst the dead. There are kids today who'll tell you we fought Russia in the war. There are armchair heroes set to settle some old score. There are profiteers and pushers primed to send young men once more to blow themselves to glory on some godforsaken shore. So drape my coffin with the flag of the good old USA. Let Yanks in army khaki and Reds in Russian gray. Lower me so gently into the German clay, and speak again the oath we swore that day. When we saw a burst of lilacs and the river swift and wide, and rested well waiting for us on the other side. And Yanks and Reds laughed out loud to be alive at the Elbe. At the Elbe.
You're listening to From the Cream to the Dregs. I'm Uncle Dennis, and I'm with you every Thursday night from 8 to 11. Tonight we're going to do something a little a little different because one of the things we're going to do is that we're going to basically let AC/DC track on through. I've got a lot of maintenance to do. I have to shut down the computer here for a while. That isn't going to take us off the air, but it does mean that I'm going to be kind of busy here tonight. So we're going to listen to some AC/DC, which is sort of appropriate for working on a computer, you know, because it runs on AC and DC. Anyway,